cannabis topics in less than 10 minutes. Let's go. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Dime. I'm Brian Fields, and with me, as always, is Kellen Finney. And this week, we got a very special guest, Chris Font, CEO at High Spirits Beverage. Chris, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, so I appreciate the opportunity.
The regulators, they opened up the cannabis industry, and most people in general didn't even recognize that the floodgates have essentially opened. So just to clarify, people now today can order products online that can get shipped to their house, like beverages, and can consume those beverages and can ultimately get high from consuming those beverages.
Correct. And to tie in real quick, I won't go on the Schedule 3 thing much longer, but the reason I was giving all that background is hemp is not marijuana. It's literally excluded from the CSA, which means if marijuana goes Schedule 3, unless there's legislative change to re-put hemp into the classification of marijuana, hemp is not Schedule 3. So all of a sudden you have this pharma marijuana doing this, and hemp is like, cool, you still want to get high through the mail? We can still do that. Hemp will become the national adult use recreational market because it's accessible without going through pharma, and it's clear of pharma's talons, if you will. So yes, it's legal now. It's unregulated, which is not good for consumers and it's not good for business. We need regulations, but it's legal. It's not criminal to possess these products. And some states have tried to make it criminal. Some states have had their asses handed to them by trying to make it criminal. Other states are winning that war, so to speak. And I do ultimately believe that the state should have the right to say, you can and can't do this in our state. But I think it's time we get off of this cannabis terrifying devil's lettuce stigma and tell states to shut up their ass, because it's, you know, this is not hurting anyone like they think it is. That narrative needs to die. But hemp is accessible now. We essentially have a version, at least of ingestibles. We could talk about inhalables separately, but at least ingestibles is pretty black and white. And we need regulations to get these products safe, but it's available now. And any stopping of that is really short-sighted. Saying, hey, I can get edibles through the mail. I want to make that illegal. Why? Why are we doing this? So you can protect your market? I was at a conference by a cannabis association in Washington State. It was a marijuana trade association. Everyone in the room was a marijuana operator. We had legislators and regulators on panels, and I was on a panel, and I was basically invited to say, you're a hemp guy. Come sit on this panel so we can roast you and you can prove why hemp should exist in a room full of marijuana operators. And I was like, okay, that sounds like fun. So I showed up to this meeting, and a lot of the questions I was getting had to involve, it's already hard enough to exist as a marijuana company, but now we're fighting online mail order. How is that fair? And I said, let me ask you guys a question. In general, do you support interstate commerce of marijuana? And everyone said, yes, of course we do. And I said, cool. How are you going to protect against interstate commerce of marijuana if you can't protect against hemp? It's the same problem under a different name. What are you going to do when people can buy marijuana online and it's shipped to them? If we all say that's what we want, and if we all say we want marijuana truly normalized, true normalization means on my way home, I stopped to get some gas and I picked up a thing of edibles from the gas station along with my Cheetos and a beer, and now I'm headed home. That's normalization.
So I want to get your perspective on Minnesota, specifically on beverages. Where are they found? And then what is the main ingredient in that? So if a consumer is consuming a THC beverage, like what should they expect? What are they consuming? And then how to know what to look for when selecting a product?
That's tricky, because the reality is I don't think consumers have enough access to the right information to properly discern which product's good for them, which is really unfortunate. And the reason we need regulations is because you don't go check the COA of your vanilla extract. Like, no one's doing that. You go buy some product at GNC to help you bulk up or cut down. No one's looking for COAs or batch records on those supplements that are all synthetic, because we don't want to, right? No one wants to put that level of work in, nor if you're unregulated, are you releasing that information. So the Minnesota market, how do you determine what to purchase and what does that market look like? There's a lot to cover here. One, the regulatory structure, I think, is exactly what other states should be adopting. You have higher milligram products and dispensaries, lower milligram products available to the public virtually anywhere you can purchase alcohol. That's how it should be, right? If you can take a serving, consume it, and even if it's a little too much for you, you have a bad time, you're not going to freak out and go to the hospital. That's the right dosage to keep publicly available. I'm not comfortable with saying 1,000 milligrams per serving should be available at 7-Eleven. It's not probably a good choice, but those things should be available to adults and they should be available through dispensaries. Minnesota's threading this needle with hemp and marijuana being the high dose, low dose. When the industry consolidates, which I keep calling the great consolidation, it's going to happen at some point. We'll just have cannabis. We won't distinguish between hemp and marijuana anymore. Whenever that happens, you're still going to have high dose, low dose. And I think high dose, low dose, low dose should be available everywhere you can purchase alcohol and probably places you can. And high dose should be relinquished to these specialty stores. Minnesota is doing a good job of plowing the fields in this regard. I think their caps are too low across the board. I think 5 milligrams per serving is too low for public. I think it should be 10. But I also think that 10 milligrams per serving is too low for dispensaries. I think it should be 100. People don't like to hear this yet because they think it's insane. But really, we should have 100 milligrams per serving, 1,000 milligrams per package in dispensaries as just adult use, right? Because what high frequency, high tolerance consumer is like, $20 for 100 megs, that sounds perfect to me. That's not, no, that's why the black market's still thriving, is because the dosage in rec is not large enough. We got to fix that problem. You need higher dosages in dispensaries. 10 megs and 100 megs, I think, is perfect for a low dose public consumption.
Let's do a quick prediction. Chris, which states do you see following Minnesota's after the great consolidation? How do you see that playing out?
Oh, after the great consolidation, most states.
Most states. What about before the great consolidation?
Pre-consolidation, any state that has a properly regulated, even kind of regulated hemp program, and then gets adult use after the fact, those states will follow in Minnesota's footsteps, because one industry already has a foothold and can defend itself against the other when it comes in. When you have mature markets like California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, you've got a very large incumbent there that is very protected on their own assets and will fight hard against hemp because they don't want the intrusion. But the other way around, hemp companies never say, no, we don't want adult use marijuana in our state. That never happens. We never lobby against marijuana normalization. Marijuana always lobbies against hemp. And so when hemp comes first, marijuana will follow. You'll get a Minnesota every time. When marijuana comes first and then hemp tries to get a foothold, you're going to end up with a Colorado or an Oregon every single time.
Kellen.
I'm going to go with kind of the Bible Belt. I think a lot of those states down south have the exact situation that Chris just kind of pointed out going on, right? Like Tennessee, Alabama, Texas, even as well, right? A lot of these states have a robust hemp program that now is kind of playing into a lot of businesses were started trying to sell CBD. The fiber market's a much longer play. Now they're kind of figuring out, hey, we got to diversify, make money. There's this opportunity. They're going to get better. And I think that those are kind of the states that you'll see more of like a Minnesota rollout as far as the ability for adults to consume Delta 9 THC before kind of the great consolidation. What do you think, Brian?
We're in agreement, but since the rules of the podcast means I have to take a different stance, I will. I'm going to take the approach that someone in a different state with a mature market goes from a legal aspect and says, you know what? Farm bill says what the farm bill says. I'm going to take this approach. Come get me. And I think it becomes a cascading of more legal events, as we've seen here in cannabis. We really like those. And I think that is the big decider where we have to have some bigger conversations in DC where they're like, you know what? This is problem has gone on too long because all it takes is one. And then after that, kind of the dominoes fall. So if I had to, I would say New York seems like the perfect opportunity to challenge from a legal standpoint because we're not doing anything right now. And with the recent ruling of them just knocking everything down, it feels like it's pure chaos and seems like the perfect time for more chaos.
Yes.
So Chris, for our listeners, they want to get in touch, they want to buy some products from you, where can they find you?
TrojanHorseCannabis.com. We'll be launching a high spirits focused website shortly, but right now TrojanHorseCannabis.com has for all of our Trojan Horse and high spirits products. If you want to follow me because you're in the industry and like what I have to say, I'm on LinkedIn, Chris Fontes or Fontes, F-O-N-T-E-S. Happy to spit stuff that pisses people off or makes them really excited on LinkedIn all the time. So follow me there as well.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time. This was a lot of fun. We'll link it up in the show notes.
Thanks, Chris.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Guys, if you've enjoyed this podcast over the last few years, can you please take 3 minutes or less and leave us a quick review on Apple or Spotify? All reviews make a massive difference for us and help other people like you find this podcast. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Cannabis Health Radio is a podcast about stories from people around the world who have used cannabis to deal with serious ailments, many of them life-threatening. My name is Ian Jessup. My co-host Corey Yelland is no stranger to the devastating emotional impact faced by so many people receiving a death sentence diagnosis from a doctor. Told she only had months to live with anal canal cancer, Corey researched and immediately began using cannabis oil to eliminate her cancer and has been cancer-free for more than a decade. She told herself that if it worked, she would spend the rest of her life helping others, which she does tirelessly every day. When you listen to our podcast, you'll hear many stories like Corey's, along with others who have used cannabis oil for many more ailments besides cancer, such as chronic pain, PTSD, MS, and many, many more. As one of our guests said, "Your podcast gave me the confidence to save my own life." We regularly get messages from listeners who have heard our podcast and use cannabis to solve a serious health issue of their own or that of a loved one. We hope you listen to these stories and be as inspired and moved as we are with each and every episode.